I want to read a portion of God's word just at this time. And our reading tonight is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark, and chapter 2. And if we could read from verse 1 through to 12, the first 12 verses of Mark's Gospel. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his holy truth. Now, I want you to turn with me tonight to that portion that we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and the first 12 verses. When we read through the Gospels and look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see some wonderful and outstanding stories about people that Christ came in contact with and people he touched and raised up and ministered to. And we want to look tonight at this wonderful story of a man who was brought to Jesus who was sick in body. And of course, there's many people tonight who are sick in body. Some of them are here, some of them are not here for that very reason. But we find that when this man was brought to Jesus, when he left, he had received not only healing for his body, but also healing for his soul. And it's very true that many people today are looking for healing for their bodies, because their bodies are sick or infirmed, and they need healing for their bodies. But friends, people more than those that need healing for their bodies need healing for their soul. And so we find that this man, whom these four men brought to Jesus for healing for his body, when he left, he also had received healing for his soul. And I want to try as best as I can to paint a picture of the story and just go down the verses with you tonight. In verse 1, I've written across that verse, the Master. It says, And he entered, again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. The news got round that he was in the house. We see the Master here. You know, news is something that everybody's interested in. People's always looking for the news or for fresh news. And when there's fresh news about something or someone, it spreads like wildfire. It spreads very quickly. And we hear people say, you know, what's the latest? Or a new term that has come in these past few years is, what's the crack and all the rest of it. People like to know what's going on. And when something happens in South Lisburn in half an hour's time and it's made away over to North Lisburn, it just goes so quickly. And sometimes the story that you hear at the beginning has changed dramatically by the time it reaches the other end of the town or the other end of the city. And we find that Capernaum was no different. It was noised that he was in the house. The master was present in this house at Capernaum. And then in verse 2, we not only see the master, but we see the multitude. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. You see, the multitude. My, when people heard that he was in the house, they came in great numbers. And the house was full, and there was no room about the door. And my, when the Lord came to this house, the house was full. And when the Lord Jesus is in the house, dear friends, the house will never be empty of people. My, he preached the word unto them, it says. My, many of these people came because they had heard about the miracles that he had performed. And I'm sure that the great majority of them was there because of the miracles. They came to see some miracle, but he preached the word unto them. And you know, friends, not only will the house never be emptied of people when the Lord is in the house, but you'll always have a congregation when you preach the word. My, he preached the word unto them. And it says here in verse 3, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And we see now not only the master and the multitude, but we see the men. Four men. And we see that these four men, my, brought a man who was sick of a palsy, or a paralyzed man he was, and they brought him because they wanted him to be brought to Jesus, because they'd heard about the miracles that he had performed, and the sick that he had touched, and the people that had been made whole. And I'm sure the reasoning was, if we can get this friend of ours to Jesus, then he can do the same for him as he has done for others. You know, friends, the crowd was so great that they couldn't get near the door. Most other people would have given up and said, well, we can't get near the place. It's full. There's a multitude there. They would have given up, but not this man. This man, or these men, didn't give up. By some means, they got this man on his bed up onto the roof, and then they began to break open the roof, and they let the man on the bed down through the roof right to where Jesus was. My, right down to the Savior. And I think that we ought to admire these four men tonight. My, we see qualities in them that ought to mark them as fishers of men. I wonder, have we got the same qualities that these four men had that brought this man who was sick of a palsy to Jesus? First thing we see about them is this. They had a concern for this man. They had a concern for him. Wonder if we got a concern for the lost tonight. Wonder if we got a concern for those that are sick with sin, for those that are perishing for those that need to be brought to Jesus. My, they had faith to believe that the Lord could meet his need. Their faith was big enough to believe that Jesus was the answer to this man's problem. They did not simply pray about him, which I'm sure they had done, but they did something about it. They put feet to their prayers. And we see that they weren't easily put off. They weren't easily put off by the crowd. They weren't easily put off by the difficulty. They weren't easily put off by wondering how they could get this man to Jesus. My dear friends, they went ahead. They worked together. And by working together, they were able to get this man up from the ground, onto the roof, through the roof, and down through the roof to the Lord Jesus who were in the house. They dared to do something that was different. We don't read of anywhere else of people doing this. But these men, my, they were determined to bring this man to the Savior, because their faith was big enough and strong enough to believe that Christ could meet him at the point of his need. So we see the master in the house. We see the multitude in the house and around the house. And we see the men that came to the house. And then we see here in verse 3 again the man. It says here, and they come bringing one sick of a palsy. The man. You know, he was a paralyzed man. Palsy, I'm told, is a form of paralysis. Paralysis comes about by several different causes. I'm told that, number one, it's caused through inflammation of the brain or spinal cord. Leads to partial paralysis of the shoulder, the arm, or both legs, or sometimes by the nerve or speech or hearing or both. It's caused through injuries to the spinal column. It's caused through pressure from the curvature of the spine or from tumors or other causes. So here's a man, and he was physically powerless. He was helpless. And he's a picture of weakness, this man. And the situation was hopeless. He was a paralyzed man. But you know, he was a privileged man. He was privileged that he had friends who thought enough of him and who were concerned enough about him to bring him to Jesus. He was privileged and they had heard about Jesus Christ and the things that he had done for others. And my dear friends, he was privileged and they had heard the message of salvation, because in verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. My, he was privileged. He was a paralyzed man. He was a privileged man. He was a pardoned man. My dear friends, we see that this man was pardoned. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So we see the master. We're trying to paint the picture of the master. We see the multitude. We see the men coming with this man on a bed. We see here the man himself and his situation. He was helpless and powerless and hopeless. And then we see the message. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, as the Lord looked at this man before him, His heart went out to him, and he saw him in all his need. The Lord saw more than his physical need. The Lord Jesus addressed this man's greatest need. He addressed the need of his soul. This man had not only a physical need, this man had a spiritual need. His soul needed to be healed more than his body needed to be healed. Because his body was only for time and life, but his soul was for eternity. And the soul is more important than the body, and the spiritual is more important than the physical. Dear friends, these men brought this man to Jesus that he might be healed, and the Lord dealt with the need of his soul. So his spiritual need, you can see, was greater. This man needed to have his sins forgiven. That was number one priority. Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And you see that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power. He had the power and the authority to forgive sin. You know, we look around us today, and we see men and women today with all kinds of different needs. We see sick people. Sick people. We see people in hospital wards and hospital beds. And their need is a physical need. A physical need. Yes. We see poor people. Homeless people. My people who are jobless. People who are underprivileged. We see people starving in Africa. And their need is a material need. A material need. And poor people, my, their need is a financial need. And people of many different needs. But the greatest need of all is a spiritual need. A spiritual need. Men and women need to have their sins forgiven. And that's the greatest need of all, that men and women might have their sins forgiven. You see, folks are just like this man that's before us in this miracle, in this page of scripture in Mark's gospel. Folks are just the same. My people are paralyzed by sin. Sin is a disease in our life. It's a disease in our soul. And it shows up our weakness. And it remains with us, and it reminds us of the hopelessness and the bleakness of the future. You remember the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and you know he reminded them about their past. Right into this company who had formed a church at Ephesus. And you remember in chapter 2, he reminded them how that in time past, you know, they were dead in trespasses and in sin. He reminded them that they were domineered by the devil. They were in the kingdom of darkness. He reminded them that they were defeated by the flesh. He reminded them that they were doomed because of their very nature. Their very nature was a sinful nature, and even their nature on its own doomed them. And you remember he says, "And at that time ye were without Christ, and without hope, and without God." My dear friends, men and women are without Christ tonight. And without Christ, they have no hope. And without Christ, they're without God. I wonder, is there one here tonight and you're without Christ? You're without Christ. And you're without hope. and you're without God, and your need is a spiritual need. They need to have their sins forgiven. And the message we have for them is the message of the gospel. It's a message of good news that Christ Jesus has the power and he has the authority to forgive sins. You can have your sins forgiven. That's the message tonight. No matter what age group you belong to, no matter what background you come from, no matter who you are, you can have your sins forgiven because there's one and his name is Jesus and he has the power and the authority to forgive sin. So we see here in this story, the master and the multitude and the men and the man and the message. We read on a little bit further, we see the meddlers, verse 68. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man not speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with in themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Now, these religious leaders were questioning his authority to forgive sins. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? And of course, that's right. Only God can forgive sins. And of course, the Lord Jesus knew that they were accusing him of blasphemy. That's what their accusation was. And he said here in verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Then we see the miracle in verse 9 through to 12. It says, wherefore is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into the house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never saw it on this fashion. The Lord in his answer to these critics, we see the action he takes towards the man to prove himself to be God. Because no man can forgive sins but God. But he was God. He was God. And he proved his deity by reading their hearts. He knew what they thought. And he proved his ability by healing the man. Which is easier, says Jesus, to heal the man or to tell him his sins are forgiven? That's what he says. What's the easiest thing to do? To heal the man or to tell him his sins are forgiven? Obviously, it's easier to say to somebody, your sins are forgiven you, because nobody can prove whether they are or not. The forgiveness really took place to back up his words. Jesus immediately healed the man and sent him home, and he said, son, arise, take up thy bed and walk. The healing of the man's body was but an illustration and a demonstration of the healing of a soul. So there's two miracles here. A miracle that is not seen by the human eye, forgiveness. And a miracle that is seen, the healing of the body. And these miracles prove that Jesus Christ was God. But there was a third way in which Christ affirmed his deity, and that was applying to himself or referring to himself as the Son of Man. As that title is used 14 times in Mark's Gospel, and 12 of these references are found after Mark chapter 8, 29, when Peter confessed that Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was a messianic title. That he's the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior. And Jesus was presenting himself as the Savior. And here was a man who was helpless, a man who was hopeless. And here was one who could meet his need. Yes, here was one who could meet his spiritual need. And here was one who could meet his physical need and forgive his sins and give him power for his life. You know, friends, man's greatest need today is the forgiveness of sins. You might think your greatest need is something else, but I'm saying to you tonight that the greatest need of every individual heart is the forgiveness of sins. You know, people search for forgiveness. They search for forgiveness. My dear friends, they search for forgiveness in religion. They search for forgiveness in ritual. They search for forgiveness through the ordinances of the church. People today strive for forgiveness. Let me say that a priest or a pastor cannot forgive sins. Penance cannot forgive sins. Doing penance, trying to work in such a way that you'll please God so that he'll forgive your sins, it's impossible. It's not found in the scriptures. Praying cannot simply forgive sins. Pain cannot forgive sins. Purgatory, if there was such a place, cannot forgive sins. Only a person can forgive sins. Only a person. You know, when the Apostle Paul was preaching at Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, do you remember he preached to the people and presented to the people Jesus as the Christ? And he went down through the history of Israel, right to David, and then he showed there was one who came forth out of David. And he preached about the coming of the Christ, how that there was one who came in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. And he went on in that sermon in Antioch and he preached about the death of Christ. How that the one who came went to Calvary on the cross and he died there and shed his blood to make an atonement for sin. And Paul went on in that great sermon and he preached about the resurrection of Christ, how that God raised him from the dead. And he brings the whole gospel message before this congregation at Antioch. And then he applies it mightily and he says, through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He says, this is how you can have your sins forgiven, through Jesus Christ, through this man. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. How can God forgive sins and remain just and holy? Through Christ's work on the cross. Dear friends, on the cross, he was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin. And he bore the burden of sin. And on the cross, he paid the price of sin with his own life's blood. On the cross, he suffered for sins, Peter says. Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And on the basis of his finished work, God comes out in love and grace and offers to men and women forgiveness for their sins. Yes, through Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Dear friends, when you look at this poor man, we see a picture of helplessness and hopelessness. We see a picture of one who's perishing, one who's in great need. And yet this man was brought to the Savior. And the Savior met his need. And the good news he received was this: Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Arise. Pick up thy bed and walk. And my, that man rose with new life and new power. And the one who came on the bed walked away without the bed. Your sins can be forgiven you. You can receive power for your life through coming to Jesus, through coming to Christ and trusting Him. He says, Son or daughter, thy sins be forgiven. He has the authority and power to forgive sins because he is God, Christ incarnate. He's the one, dear friends, who dealt with sin. The one who conquered it and rose again, and then grace comes tonight. And people get new life and new power when they find him. May you come to the feet of Jesus Christ tonight as this man came to him. And if you're not saved and you've never experienced forgiveness, you can experience it by simple faith in him.